Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. More than 50 years removed from the civil rights movement of the 1960s, a new Milwaukee exhibit is shining a light on the collaborative efforts of two groups in the struggle. Jewish Museum Milwaukee's exhibit, Allied in the Fight, Jews, Blacks, and the Struggle for Civil Rights, examines the relationship between Jewish and African-American people, both nationally and in Milwaukee itself.
Molly Dubin is the museum's curator. Ralph Holman is the retired president and CEO of the Milwaukee Urban League and co-chaired the exhibit planning committee. Welcome to you both.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, Mitch.
So what's the story this exhibit is seeking to tell?
Well, we were really excited about the opportunity to explore the really rich history of advocacy between the Jewish and Black communities. And we had been looking at this for a while and hadn't really found the vehicle. And through some research and reaching out to some colleagues in New York and finding out about the 50th anniversary of the open housing marches and the 200 Nights of Freedom, wound up all kind of dovetailing together really nicely to enable us to develop this project.
I just wanted to add that I really think that this is a must-see exhibit because it shows both locally and nationally how the Jewish community and African-American community work together to overcome discrimination and achieve some basic civil rights. And that is so important, especially at this time in our nation's history, where we see a lot of divisions, a lot of divisiveness, hatred and bigotry, and we don't need that. And we need to show examples of how we can work together to get things done. So that's another reason why this exhibit is so important.
And I was just about to ask about some examples. What are some people or who are some people or what are some milestones along the way that you think are emblematic of how Jews and African Americans have worked together in the civil rights struggle?
Well, there are a lot of examples, and we highlight quite a few in the exhibit. I'm going to let Ralph speak to some of the beginnings of the alliance, which date to 1909 with the development of the NAACP, and I'm going to let Ralph speak to that. One of the stories that I was really excited to highlight was the relationship between Julius Rosenwald and Booker T. Washington, which resulted in so many beneficial things. Of course, that first kind of came together when Booker T. Washington approached Rosenwald with the idea of advancing education at the Tuskegee Institute. And Rosenwald went on to establish YWCAs, YMCAs, which at the time only served whites. And probably the greatest accomplishment that came out of that relationship was the establishment of 5,500 schools in the South where there was very little access to public education for African-American children. One of the other great stories that we talk about, and is a very little-known story, is that of actually the film, which is called From Swastika to Jim Crow. And 1939, 1940, of course, you know, the kind of the apex of the Nazi regime. And you have German and Austrian professors who, along with millions of Jews, are losing their liberties, losing their livelihoods, their professions. They flee to the United States and are met at mainstream universities with a lot of the same anti-Semitic sentiment, this kind of general xenophobia that is very ubiquitous at the time. And where do they wind up getting positions, being accepted at historically Black colleges and universities? And in fact, we're lucky enough to have in our community a woman named Joyce Mallory who attended Tougaloo College in Tougaloo, Mississippi. And she was a student of Professor Ernst Barinsky, who was a German Jewish professor who actually featured in this film, and we're excited to show that advocacy coming from both perspectives.
These are not necessarily stories we hear all the time.
Oh, absolutely not. And again, this is why this exhibit is so important, because it gives us a historical perspective on how people can work together, in particular, the Jewish community and African-American community. Another specific example, historically, of how the two communities have worked together. In the early 1900s, when African Americans were migrating from the rural South to urban cities in the North, as they were making this transition, they encountered any number of problems, you know, housing, employment, education, et cetera. In 1909, the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, was founded. And in 1910, the National Urban League was founded. Both organizations were founded to provide assistance to African Americans who were trying to make this transition. Interestingly enough, the Jewish community was very prominent in helping both organizations get established. That's a fact that few people know about, and it's something that this exhibit, you know, really helps to shine a light on and inform people.
Why do you think this kinship has existed over the decades and the centuries, really?
I have a couple thoughts on that, and, you know, probably the main, you know, connecting piece is this idea that both minority groups have met with some of the very same challenges, and those experiences, those narratives have been parallel in many instances. And I think that there was this general sense, and certainly following World War II, after the Jewish community was reeling from the devastation of the Holocaust, and this realization that there was this huge discrepancy between the American dream and what was actually going on, and that, you know, we were busy fighting, you know, racism and anti-Semitism abroad, and we had major problems in our own backyard that we needed to come together on. And that was a huge point of coalescence, I think, for the two communities.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, from my perspective, the two communities realized that, you know, obviously there were differences. But when we look at our history in this country, we had more in common. We had more similarities than not. And I think that that caused a coalition to develop, a bond to develop very early on. But one of the other things I wanted to mention is that more recently, when we talk about the open housing marches here in Milwaukee, we often hear about Father Grappi, you know, Vell Phillips, the Commando Project, the Youth Council, which were very instrumental. But we don't hear about the Jewish connection to those marches and how the Jewish community helped and supported the marches. And in particular, there were several prominent Jewish attorneys who not only provided money, but provided free legal counsel. So when people got arrested or had some legal problems, they were there to assist people. That was absolutely essential, you know, to the success of the march. And the other thing is there was a very prominent Jewish doctor who provided free medical care when people were injured or whenever there were problems during the marches. These are little known facts, but essential facts that were an essential part of making this a successful history story.
There were redlining practices in the Milwaukee area that excluded both African Americans and Jews, correct?
There were, and we do look at redlining. In fact, we have an entire three-part series that's coming up beginning very shortly here with Reggie Jackson kicking off the first program. And we felt like it was really important to look at that both in the context of the overall history, but in looking at the fact that here we are at the 50th anniversary of the open housing marches. And while there were some parallels between the African American and Jewish communities in terms of redlining, there were racially restrictive covenants that were in place that really affected the Black community. And there was a point where there had been mobility to a greater extent for the Jewish community, and that mobility really stopped for the African American community. And so we felt like it was so important to understand in looking to this, you know, really important moment that had a national impact. I mean, Milwaukee was on a national stage in terms of what was going on here. How can we move forward and affect positive change if we don't understand where we've come from, what has changed, but what still needs to be changed?
Redlining was so negatively impactful in the African-American community because as we look at ways to generate and create wealth in this community, home ownership is one of the essential ways that people do it. And because of the redlining laws, you know, African-Americans in some cases were not able to buy or they were restricted in terms of where they could buy, And because of those restrictions, their property values did not increase like in some other areas. And that had a devastating impact on the African-American community's ability to generate wealth, which we see the ramifications of that today.
There would be this temptation, I think, in talking about the relationship between the Jewish community and the African-American community to see it as this sort of constant state of being allied. But this was a complex relationship, wasn't it?
There definitely were complexities, and that's something we address in the exhibit as well, that this is a relationship that's ebbed and flowed, and there certainly have been periods where, the collaboration has been, filled with more strife, and there have been times when it has really been much more of a coming together and seeing the benefit of coming together. But Ralph really spoke effectively to some of the differences he sees when we were discussing this a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. As I said before, there are certainly commonalities, but there are distinctions as well. But I just wanted to say that, unfortunately, we have a tendency, and when I say we, the broader society, the broader community, we have a tendency to focus on the negatives. And I think one of the things that's been disheartening to me is there's been a tendency to focus more on the differences between the African-American community and the Jewish community than the focus on the commonalities and how we work together. To me, that's so important. Now, we can't stick our head in the sand and pretend like, certain things don't exist, but we can't focus on those things and let that become the narrative of the day.
What would you hope that people will take from understanding this history better?
I certainly hope that people will understand that we as people have more in common than not. And I hope that people will understand that we can make more progress by working together than being in our own little silos and, working against each other. The other thing that I hope this exhibit does is I hope this exhibit is a catalyst to stimulate some ongoing conversation, dialogue, and action. It's great to have a one-time exhibit and everybody feels good and, everybody goes home. But it's more important to have some ongoing dialogue, some ongoing action where people are working together on some of our common problems and some of our common challenges. So I hope that this exhibit is going to be the springboard to make that happen.
And that's one of the wonderful things that has come out of this committee that we formed, which brought together leaders, activists, educators from both the African American and Jewish communities. Everyone was so energized by this opportunity to have dialogue, to create, public opportunities to explore meaningful, resonant topics and how they impact our society today. And what we've discussed is that exactly what Ralph said. We're really hoping this is going to be a springboard, that we are going to continue to foster dialogue. We're going to continue to do programming that addresses all of these important issues. And one of the things that we have in the exhibit that we're really hoping will be part of the engagement process is a call to action wall. I mean, it's one thing to read, to understand, but it's another thing to say, I'm going to be part of the change I want to see in the world. To quote Gandhi. But we have activities listed from, some things that are a little bit easier to things that require a bit more time and dedication. But we're asking everyone that comes into that space to make their mark and commit to doing something that is going to engage them in looking to affect positive change.
Well, Molly Dubin, Ralph Holman, thank you both for your time and congratulations on the exhibit.
Well, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Ralph Holman is the retired president and CEO of the Milwaukee Urban League. He's also the co-chair of the planning committee for the exhibit Allied in the Fight, Jews, Blacks, and the Struggle for Civil Rights. It's open through late March at Jewish Museum Milwaukee. Molly Dubin is the museum's curator, and there is a link to more information at wuwm.com.